We two grown-ass men enter a bar where there's a bunch of other grown-ass men playing a game of dice, mini figurines, and brutally going to war against each other in a tavern. Roll initiative. AKA, cue the music, because we're at WoWfest. Welcome to WoWfest, or actually, welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place that Ash, Ketchum, Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. We are live. I guess technically this podcast isn't live, but we are here at WoWfest for the second time in St. Cloud, Minnesota. It is a Warhammer tournament. People are playing during round one. We have started, we are ready to go, and next to my side is Justin Moser, a.k.a. Just Moser. Moser, hello.
Hello.
Are you excited to be here? Man in the chair.
Honestly, pretty excited.
Yeah, you feel like in your spot right now.
I do.
Like you're still learning the system. I have to come in and... It's so weird not controlling it and not being the man in the chair, as well as the man hosting.
Right? But all see, right. This is going to be less distractions.
Yes, you're fully focused. And our thing is really loud.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not too loud. We will see. You can listen to it after we are done. Alright, should we what do you think? Should we get into Warhammer rules right away, or should we get into let's do the background. So we're here at WoWfest. It is a Warhammer tournament. It is a special type of tournament. Every year is a different theme, and this year's theme is Dungeons and Dragons, D&D. And so they play three matches throughout the entire day, and each match has a different goal. It has a different game. This is not your regular, super competitive Warhammer tournament. This is just random fun, random things get put in. There is special surprises throughout the day for players, and it's exciting. And we actually have an army this year.
We do.
We have the Weetello Necron Dynasty Army, and it is led by last year's co-host, Brandon Klein. He will be on later. Actually, we already did our interview with him. Yeah, he was pretty excited.
Yeah,
I can see him now. He's playing on the pink board. We'll have to do an interview with him later, probably more on TikTok. So if you want to follow us on TikTok, that will be where all of it is. So... Tom will be joining us later, along with Brian, the two hosts. I believe Mike will be joining as well. There's many people who are like staff and work the events, and they have been for 15 years. They'll talk more about the history of the events, why they started it, kind of like last year when they did it.
Correct.
So, but yeah, I'm excited. I know actually a little bit more about Warhammer this time. I've technically played before one game. We've done the painting for the Weetello Dynasty. Me and Brandon definitely helped, but it was mostly Tom who did it. Tom put it on a lot, so special thanks to him, even though we'll be thanking him a lot throughout this podcast.
Right, because I basically know that dice and minis are involved in this.
Yes.
That's about it.
You can see in front of us, for those who are the visual audiences, you can only see us in the background, which is nothing. Occasionally Jackie will come in and you'll see her sitting down. But in front of us, we are at a booth. We are at what is usually the bar of the place. And we are overlooking all of these different tables. Like, it is really impressive. Like, last year was really, really impressive. This year, I mean, it's the same boards. Every year, they do a different board. But I can see a couple other things that are new. Like, there is one board with, like, giant, massive pyramids. Like, in the sky. Like, it looks really crazy. Brandon right now is playing in a pink, fluffy... matchup. We will need a pitcher. I need someone to get a pitcher of his like matchups. Definitely. We'll have to do this probably after this.
I was going to say, itself. Definitely. We'll have to, even if we're out TikToking, we should always take pictures or at least show the board of what they're playing on during the TikToks.
I'm going to put that on you. And
that's totally fine.
I believe Donald and Romero at some point will be making an appearance too. We will be doing a lot of different podcasts today. We'll be doing a lot of different TikToks today. We have a bunch of games and giveaways. So we will have, also in this podcast, we will have Alex. He was last year. He was, forget what exact company. He will explain that when we get him on. He will be giving our Dynasty, our Weteller Dynasty, a paint review to see how well we did. If it was just me, we'd score really low. My paint job is not the greatest. So, but we have him on. We might have DC Bruins on again. He was on last year. Definitely, I'm going to be having him making me. He's going to make. I'm going to ask for him to do Lord Lord Demcock. We also be talking about the lore of the Weetella Dynasty, because I come up with some lore for our characters, and we will be expanding as the years go on. But right now, we only have two characters that we will be talking about: Lord Demcock, Pig Papa himself, and King Scarab. And what those characters are. Is there anything else I'm missing, Moser? I believe that's it, right? Oh, yeah.
Next Tom, characters.
Tom, Brian, and Mike at some point will come on as well. And throughout the day, we will be talking with the boys, Acolyte, House of Dragons, random-ass questions. We'll be talking to people throughout the day as well. All right, should we get into our own personal stuff?
Sure, why not?
All right. We are, all right, it's so weird because you're the man in the chair. You're the one who should be leading. What are you nerding out on?
What am I nerding out on? Yeah. I have literally been playing a shit ton of Elden Ring because the DLC is coming out soon, and I cannot wait.
You're prepping for it?
And I am prepping for it.
Nice.
I've seen the reviews and some of the people that got early access to it and wanted. I am not saying I'm going to be running with it, but the first thing I want to do is getting the basically the reverse held curved blades, because they hold it behind just like Jedi a lot.
Okay.
But from what I've heard is those swords, you don't have to farm to get two. They automatically will be able to be two-handed when you get one of them.
Nice. All right.
So it'll be a little less work. A lot less work for some of them, because sometimes the drop rate's like 2%, so you spend about an hour just to get one, and you gotta spend another hour to get the second one.
Yeah. Nice.
It's
exciting. What else have you been nerding on Elden Ring? I know nothing about Elden Ring. I haven't played, but I wanted to.
I was like,
I hear it's amazing.
Have you played any of the Souls?
No. No.
Bloodborne?
I have them.
You have them, but yet you've never played them.
Well, I got them when, like, I had a PS4, and I got them for PS3, and I didn't want to go back. Man, I'm an adult who has many video games I haven't played.
Sadness.
But I'll play Minecraft again for hours on hours.
Yeah.
Speaking of Minecraft, that's one of the things I've been nerding out on. I kind of showed you a little bit.
Yep.
My I've been doing a stadium, so that's one of the things I've been really, like, wanting to do. Like, ever since Minecraft come out, I've just been developing stadiums. Like, just randomly. Like, this is, like, the third or fourth one that I developed and built. But, like, the last time I did it was, like, 6-7 years ago.
Huh.
So, but it's going well. I'm using SoFi Stadium as an inspiration, as well as Gillette Stadium. And I guess technically Jacksonville's, because I have a swimming pool in it.
Yeah.
There's a swimming pool, there's a lighthouse, I have a roof that's like SoFi, so I'm pretty excited about it. Other thing, I will be talking about this later in the podcast too, Pokemon MMO, I've definitely been playing. Now that Brandon and I have other people that are playing it, I'm going to be playing it more, because it's like the ultimate Pokemon game. I'm doing a tournament for TikTok to figure out what is the ultimate Pokemon game, and the real answer is Pokemon MMO. That is the real answer.
Is it, though?
Because, I mean, it's like the games that I'm like, that are up for debate for best MMO or best Pokemon game, they're in the tournament. So, like, HeartGold, SoulSilver is in Pokemon MMO. Emerald is an MMO. Platinum is an MMO. Black and White, I think just Black and White. Black and White 2 is the one that's in the tournament. But Black and White is also in MMO. So it's like, it has all the great games. Fire Red, Leaf Green is also in Pokemon MMO.
Okay.
So it's just like combining all of them together. So that's what's really like exciting about it. Other things that I've been nerding out on. Oh, this is the DC episode.
Yep. This is.
You have the wrong outline on.
You said one of ours. You never said which one. You just said one of them.
Man in the chair has got to do better. All right, I'll do this by memory then. If you want to switch it to the outline, just in case I'm missing something. Other things I've been really nerding out on. Like the main things that I'm focusing on is the previews for the show. So, is this the right one?
That is the D&D, I believe.
Oh, no, not D&D. WoFest, man, the regular one. All right, so House of Dragons, I just watched the first episode of Season 1. Rewatching it, I've already watched it before. Acolyte, I watched the first two episodes of. And I also I'm watching The Boys. That's like the biggest one I was doing yesterday. Finished up with Season 2, going on to Season 3. I'm happy I made it to Season 3 before doing the preview of it, because definitely, like, Season 3 is so different than Season 1 and 2. So I'm excited to talk about it, and we will be talking about it today. The episode that came out before this episode should be The Acolyte and The Boys. If not, I'm sorry. Things happen, you know. So, really excited for it. What else do I have on there? Oh, D&D, yes. Of course, Dungeons & Dragons has been another thing every Monday. Most of the people that play in the campaign are here, and I'm excited to talk to more about it. But yeah, D&D has just been a big thing I'm on. So, yeah, that's what my nerding out on. Should we get... All right, let's get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie.
The news quickie. The Last of Us Season 2 news.
I wrote this for me. Bullet points. Yeah. All right, Last of Us Season 2. I'll do this by memory. I may have to look over your shoulder a little bit. So there, Neil Druckmann and, or is it Craig Mazin? One of the two were talking about Last of Us 2. There's a couple news. They're talking about how Part 2. My microphone's gone. They're talking about Part 2. The game, Last of Us Part 2, is going to be possibly broken up into three seasons. And there was kind of a lot of debate on whether or not this was going to be broken up on, because Part 2 has a lot of different parts to it. Just like it's a much larger game. It took like 30 hours to play through. I think the first one was somewhere between 10 and 20, depending on how fast you play. So the idea was Part 2 was going to be broken up into many seasons. But the fact that they said three seasons is huge, because I'm thinking, like, how are they going to do three seasons of this? But I actually have a thought on this. Have you played Part 2?
I have not.
So there's, like, the first, like, story. There's another character's story. And then there's, like, an epilogue. Because, like, you feel like the game should end at one spot, and then it surprises you with a whole other epilogue, which would make a really good Season 3. So, or Season 4. So,
right.
I think Season 2 will be Ellie's story. Season 3 will be new character's story. And Season 4 will be
the epilogue?
Like the epilogue of the two. And I think they're probably going to add on the epilogue. And I think it's worthy. Other big news is they said that Season 2 is going to be shorter than Season 1. Which is somewhat surprising, because Season 1 felt like it was one episode too short. Like, it felt like it should have been a little bit added on more. But they do say there's only going to be 8 episodes, but if they're going to split Part 2 into many seasons, it might make sense. And I think I might be okay with it.
Definitely.
The other big news, I believe the only other thing that was on the list, is that they did confirm that it will be 2025 before it releases, and probably more early than mid-2025. Yeah. All right, what's next on the list?
Next is Venom Last Dance.
Venom Last Dance just dropped the trailer.
So nice.
It does look nice, but it's hard to, like, be... The first two were just kind of okay.
So I gotta say, the first one was great, because it brought that...
Yeah.
into it.
I like the first one. It's a fun ride.
But the second one was a little bit of a stretch, but also it brings Carnage into it, which to me, it opens up that world of like all the different, you know, symbiotes.
I will say the one thing that disappointed me, because I'm waiting for one character. So they say it's the Last Dance, right? And I'm like, okay, if it's going to be the Last Dance, then they're going to give the ultimate Venom villain. Do you know who I'm talking about for the ultimate Venom villain? I have the comic.
I know you do.
I have a 9.8 in the whole, like, the whole plastic. And it's, like, the first, like, it's the first, like, visual cover of this character.
Right.
It is Null. There is no confirmation that Null's in it, but they do talk about how there's more aliens coming.
I was going to say, it doesn't it say that his whole entire planet is coming?
Yeah.
Which would, you know, initiate that it's going to have Null, which my guess
is... They didn't confirm it, though.
I was looking
for the symbol.
Well, you have to admit, it might be called The Last Dance, but does that make it The Last Dance? Because it could end it with Null landing on Earth.
I will say, if it ends with Null on Earth, and it, like, let's say if Null takes over that multiverse, and then Venom has to go to the DC or MCU. I was gonna say DCU. If he had to go to the MCU, that might be a cool introduction.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
But that is like a whole Venom predictions video that we'll talk to. All right, let's move on. What's the next news?
Next is Evangeline Lilly is stepping away.
Yes, Evangeline Lilly. She is the Wasp. I think Hope Van. Not is it Hope? Yeah, Hope Van Dyne from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the worst one of the three. She is officially. All right, quick break because of a random announcement. Thank you, Tom, Nerdy of the New York Chatfield. We praised them a lot in this podcast already, but I guess we have to diss them at one point. So here it is. All right, so Evangeline Lilly, she is dropping out. I forget if they noticed, if they talked why. It just said more personal reasons. I think her character's at a good spot where she can kind of dip out. You know? Like her daughter's, or... The character's daughter's stature, she's going to be in it. Hashtag kill Cassie. Damn it, where are you, Ernie? It's your time to shine. So, I mean, I think in terms of like the larger MCU, I think it's a good place for her to kind of like dip out. Personally, you know, everyone makes choices to change careers or retire for personal reasons. So I wish her the best. She was pretty good when it comes to... Like, I thought she was a good actress. They didn't really portray her as much as they should have. Even though Wasp was, like, in the title, and the second one, she was very much in the movie. Yeah, I feel like that character could have been a lot better done. All right, what's next?
And next is House of Dragons, just okay.
Yeah, so I read a review for House of Dragons. And it was fine. They said season 2 is supposed to be, like, this big, like, culmination of, like, the Civil War, and there was, like, talks of, like, it was just going to bang, bang, bang. But apparently the first two episodes were really slow-moving, which led to a so-so score. So, kind of question mark, is it concerning? Is it going to be just okay? I already cursed out Star Wars for making just an okay TV show with the Acolyte. Like, we have so many content. If it's going to be, you know, I want greatness, man.
Right. No, like, if you're going to be coming out with these shows, like, make it worth our while to watch it. Because if, like, you know, when you only, what is House of Dragons, like, 10 episodes, 12 episodes?
I think this season's going to be 8 episodes. I looked it up. It was supposed to be 8 episodes. Last season was 10 episodes. I think they talked about, like, it wasn't their choice to make it 8 episodes. I think with, like, the pandemic... mixture of the pandemic as well as the strikes. I think it was mostly the strikes.
Right.
It shortened the 8 season or 8 episodes. It wasn't their choice, but there is going to be season 3, at least season 3 to come, and that'll be a full time. So, just okay. I don't know. I don't know how much I trust IGN because that's the review I read. Sometimes there is a review when I forget which show it was, but they gave it a 6 because the lighting was off. Like, you couldn't see anything. It's a 6. And it's like, okay, but that, it wasn't my experience. I could see just fine. And I'm like, you're going to review bomb a show because your TV settings were correctly? Like, come on. Do better, IGN. So it's hard to like say, but I do like that's kind of like the first one I see. To get a good general like grasp of like where it is. I like seeing reviews beforehand just to see like what should I expect? Should I expect greatness? Should I expect okayness? You know, and like go from there from that expectation. Some people like to go completely blind, which is fine. But I like to have an idea of like what it's going to be.
Right.
All right. Is that the last one? Do we have more?
No,
news?
There is Donald Glover teasing a new album on TikTok.
Yes. Okay. I'm a huge Donald Glover fan, as you should all know by now. Donald Glover released, re-released an album in May, and I was excited because I'm like, new Donald Glover album. And I was like, no, it's the one that he released during the pandemic that wasn't quite finished yet. He re-released it, and it's a lot better. Definitely worth like checking out. It's a vibe for sure. But he made a TikTok account, and he kept posting like random videos. Basically him singing, I don't give a fuck. And, like, there was, like, at one point he, like, posted a hater or a video about, like, why you don't fuck with Donald Glover. And then just review was, I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, I don't know what, but I hope there's a new album. I'm excited because a lot of my favorite artists are having new albums this year. We already have Kendrick and Drake diss. Kendrick basically released a mixtape dissing Drake. So that was pretty great. Eminem has released Houdini. If Ernie and Rogue are here, I might make another outline, and we might do a whole episode talking about that. We talked about it, but of course, you know, didn't make the plans to do it. So, with that,
that is the news quickie.
That took relatively. Going. Brandon, hello.
Hello.
We do this again for the second time. Is my mic working, Moser?
Yeah, now it's working.
Beautiful. All right. Well, this is Brandon Klein, as you guys should know. He is our general for WAFest. He is running the Don't Evolve Me Weetello Dynasty, Weetello Necron Dynasty. I think that's the official name that we went on. How are you feeling?
Feeling great. Yeah. I'm hyped.
How nervous are you?
I'm going to fake it till I make it. Pretend to know what I'm doing until I know what I'm doing.
All right. You going to do us proud or are you going to do us shame?
I'll tell you. Well, I'll have more insight after the first game.
That's fair. First game Tom goes. Has no faith in you. He thinks you're going to lose all the way out.
Yeah. I really am sandbagging by not making it to the practice this week.
Yeah.
So it's going
to
be.
It was a crazy storm because I was coming in the same direction you were coming from for the beginning part of the storm. And I literally thought I was going to be driving into a tornado because the clouds were like swirling.
Yeah.
So it rained pretty hard. So, and you know, you have a car with a hole in it. So that, yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
So, all right, what's your strategy in this tournament? Take us through like your game plan.
Well, so I was kind of thinking of a game plan on the way here. Mm-hmm. As far as like our army is all about teleporting around and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Even though we don't have the main like centerpiece, the monolith for our army, I was kind of thinking go for something like that. And then I started reading these rules here for today.
Yeah.
And kind of threw a whole wrench into everything that I was thinking about.
What's the rules?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. But it does seem like there's kind of a special rule about strategic reserves and stuff like that as far as being able to come in around the board edge normally.
Okay.
Which is kind of our whole main strategy is to use and abuse that.
Yeah.
And there's kind of an extra restriction on that in this game.
What's the restriction?
Like, you have to pay an extra CP in order to put them out further. Like, normally it's free to do it.
Okay.
But you'll have to pay command points in order to do it. As far as what I'm reading, that's what I'm comprehending from this rules right now. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But you only get one command point per turn, so you can only do so much with that as far as teleporting around and stuff. So, but we'll see how it goes. I'm going to play it out.
Yeah. I mean, all the pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, we will be talking to you afterwards to see how we're doing if you have brought shame or proud glory.
Glory. Yeah.
Glory to the Don't Involve Me
going,
podcast.
Going for glory, but setting the expectations low.
I mean, yeah, Tom literally thinks you're going to get swept. Last prize is ours.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
You know, I might surprise him, you know.
I did say.
His lack of confidence inspires me to do better.
So. I did say that, like, if there is one person that can take our army with no practice or little practice and succeed, it is you.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll necessarily, even if I don't win any, as long as I can make them even a little competitive, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
If I can prevent myself just from getting, like, blown out every game.
Well, this is a different tournament, too. This isn't a straight-up Warhammer tournament. Yeah. You're not just... There is special rules.
Yeah.
So you winning can happen if you just exploit those rules.
And I am good at exploiting rules. The problem is that there's a lot of rules I don't know.
Yes. So we'll take time. All right. Do you want to do the our motto?
We are the Weetellos. Weetellos. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
Put some, like, how many beers do we need for you to, like, act it out?
It will get better as the day goes
on. Okay, we will be chucking you.
I'm better. It's going to be better on the fly than it is when you ask me to do it.
Because you got to put, like, a performance in. Like, roll a performance check. That's pretty average.
So, yeah, that's about, like, what you got.
We are the Weetellos. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
I'm not there yet.
Not there yet?
Nope.
Man, I'm completely wrong.
You're going to have to wait.
I guess I have caffeine, so.
Yeah, you have to wait. It will be there, but.
How many beers is it going to take you to act like our Lord and Savior, Lord Demcock?
Might take a couple, depending on how the day goes. He seems a little.
just start thrusting.
Kind of the opposite of me. Yeah. But we'll see as beer comes. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, sir, am I missing any questions that I have for him?
No, it's just.
Oh, wait.
Here you go.
Oh, painting.
Yeah, it's painting.
Joe, how'd you feel about Tom's change up with the boy dragon?
I mean, we all kind of unanimously agreed that it just stuck out a little bit too much.
Yeah, it was.
And I think that.
Gorgeous paint job.
Yeah, I think. For painting over it, like, another time, it looks really good. I think it did a good job. So
yeah, it does.
It turned out well.
It did. It turned out really, really well. He took my idea. I like it.
Yeah.
I like when people just, I throw out a random idea that pops in my head, and I, like, talk it up, and then it just happens.
Yeah, I'd like to give a little extra appreciation, because Tom definitely went above and beyond for this whole army.
Yes.
He did, like, 90% of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Building, scraping, painting, putting it together, fixing it when it broke.
Yes,
so, there are a lot of extra credit to Tom Nerdier Than You Chatfield.
Yes, thank you, Tom Nerdier Than You Are Chatfield. I mean, he's coming on this. I forget where this lines up in the interview process.
Yeah.
But he will definitely be joining.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. So, all right. Before you go, because we don't have a whole lot. How much time do we have, Moser? Okay. Pokemon MMO.
Ah, yes.
You messaged me last night.
Yeah.
And I was ecstatic. I was like, fuck yeah, I gotta play now.
Yeah.
I played for, like, a moment.
I played for a little bit yesterday. I was just kind of looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just download it and give it a shot. And that's kind of cool. Yeah, I appreciate, like, the extra UI and stuff that you get. That makes it just a lot less tedious.
It's less tedious.
You can see your EVs and stuff like that, your IVs and all that stuff
EVs,
right off the bat.
IVs, the breeding process is different. You have to sacrifice two Pokemon.
Okay, and you turn them into a new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you, but, like, you have a pretty good idea of, like, what you're going to do or, like, which Pokemon you're going to get.
And you can buy Pokemon with, like, perfect IVs?
Yeah, it costs a lot of money, but you can.
Yeah.
I think.
I saw, like, one for, like, 750 grand.
Million, I think.
I saw one with perfect IVs for 750.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount. So once you get past, like, the fourth gym, then you can start, selling Pokemon. It sounds really bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, the comparison
is,
cool,
like, to add the market.
Yeah, it's, like, the comparison of, like, the slave trade. This one, like, goes, like, further.
You already capture them and stuff like that.
I know, but this one, like, takes it a little bit further. But it is a great game.
You could always buy Pokemon in the games, too. There'd be random shops where you could buy, like, a Dratini and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, after gambling.
Yeah. But
I don't know if that's
I will
better.
Say that I did get an Abra with perfect speed and
Ooh.
A 30 on its special attack.
Ooh, I'm jealous. Yeah, I don't even have a good Abra yet.
Its nature was nothing. It was, like, one of the ones that cancels out.
Oh.
But yeah, there are good IVs on it. It's pretty cracked.
I mean, that's going to be a good one to breed one day.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then you can always buy what is called a brace, too. And when you breed them, it will lock in that number.
The IVs. Okay.
So, all right. I know. I'm excited because we'll have to talk about it more once we get into it.
Yes.
But
yeah,
I'll be
sure.
playing more.
And we're not at WaFest.
Yes. Of course. All right, Brandon, I'm going to let you get prepped. Do us proud today. All the pressure. You know, off camera, I said no pressure.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All the pressure. I'll Don't fuck it. Up.
No mistakes.
Yes.
Perfect All right. eye rolls every time.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Brian have it any closer to him?
Huh?
Should Brian have it closer to him?
No, he's good.
Okay.
I mean, he could have it closer, but that picks up a lot, too. So, generally, the closer it is, the better. So, hello. Welcome. Tom, Brian, thank you for one. Thank you for having us.
Sure thing.
And also, I mean, thank you for coming on the show, too. Do you guys want to just give a brief general overview of what WaFest is and what it's about and maybe what's different this year compared to others?
Sure. I don't know. We just got to sound cool. We're anti-establishment. We're the anti-establishment tournament here. So our basic premise is, though, we are trying to get away from the competitive 40K scene, and we are trying to go back to a tournament that is like rolling dice in your buddy's basement while having beers. So that is the general principle of our tournament. We take ourselves not seriously. We're not recorded ITC.
Yeah, we're not affiliated.
We're not affiliated with any national tournaments. We are strictly here to roll dice and drink beer.
Yeah.
So, we try to throw the meta on its head. We make our own custom rules. This year's theme is Dungeons and Dragons.
50 years, baby.
Yep. It was matching up with the 50th anniversary of D&D. There's a reason why we chose it this year.
I'm happy that you mentioned it because I don't think we mentioned it initially in our introduction. But yeah, 50 years of D&D. We have the second 5th edition coming out.
Yeah.
2024 5th edition.
5.5,
yeah. So.
Wow. I just realized Brian's only 5 years older than D&D is.
Ow.
How do you feel about that?
I'm right here, dude.
You're
Sorry,
older
Brad.
Than D&D.
Oh, jeez.
I'm older than Google.
That's depressing.
All right, take a drink.
Oh, and it's also Brian's birthday yesterday, so we're celebrating Brian's birthday along
birthday.
With WaFest.
You guys are killing me with that.
I know, first his wife and now him.
Well, we're just hoping for free shots to get Brian real fucked up.
Yeah. All right, so we have WaFest. How many contestants do we have?
What do we have for checking? 45.
45?
Yep.
All right.
So I think we had 48 registered, so we had a couple no-shows, which it inevitably happens.
Yeah. Is there a person, since there's 45, do we have someone not playing the first round?
Yeah, there was somebody not playing right now. He ended up showing up late after the dice down cutoff, so we kind of told him, like, hey, dude, is what it is. We do have a ringer, so our ringer will sit out the next one, so he's actually able to play the next two tournaments, or the next two games at least.
Yeah. Well, at least you can drink in the meantime, talk to people.
Exactly.
Have a great time. I love the board setup. What's the new board this year?
There is not one.
There is no new board.
No, we've been kind of lazy this year. Or lazy or just busy with life, one of the two. Mostly busy with life.
All right. What was the new board last year? I forget.
We have a new one last year? Nope. I think it was 2 years ago we did Funko Pop.
Funko Pop?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The Funko Pop is...
Yep. So they...
Really
straight
nice
ahead
those.
Of us.
So Funko came up with Space Marine Funko Pops, and we recasted them and made multiples.
Nice.
And then we scaled up some standard vehicles, drop pods and rhino tanks, and made it fit the scale of the Funkos.
Nice.
Fun to look at.
Brandon's He's representing the Don't Evolve Me Witello Dynasty army.
Yep.
He's on the pink board. What is the theme of that board?
That is the Prince board.
The Prince board?
Yeah. Oh, so we made that the year Prince died.
Nice.
And so if you look in the center, it has the big phallic Prince symbol.
Yep.
Made out of stone. Well, it's made out of, I think, just insulation foam, but it's supposed to look like stone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just purple. It's called the Purple Terrain board.
Yeah. I like it. So, talk to Brandon a little bit. He's playing. Seems like he's about to get his ass kicked a little bit. I didn't tell him your expectation for him this game, this tournament.
I mean, honestly, anybody that's coming in and playing that hasn't played in 3 editions and hasn't played for 5 years, you should expect to probably get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. Honestly, if any of us played, too, I'm sure Brian would agree, we'd probably get our asses kicked in this.
Oh, yeah.
We don't really play that much.
I got one game of 10th edition under my belt.
Yeah, but it's been out for, a year now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, busy setting up. And
we just rely on other people that actually play to, play test for us, so that's what the club's good for.
Yeah. Tell us about the club a little bit.
The St. Cloud Wargaming?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just a pretty loose affiliation. We're based out of Sneak Attack Games in Wade Park. We meet on Tuesdays at about 5 usually, and we just have a pretty small community via Facebook, via Discord, and that sort of thing like that. Mainly Discord, we get most of our guys setting up games and sharing hobby stuff on our Discord page.
I'm on you guys' Discord. I am the Facebook page, though.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get you on there soon.
We will. Brian, what year is this for WAFES?
12?
I think we're on 13.
13?
Yep.
See, this is why the AC is 13 for the TikTok.
I gotta check because I know we lost one for COVID.
Yeah, not counting the COVID year. This is still our 13th actual tournament, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for anyone to get together on COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an unfortunate term, but we were really lucky because we had 2 years to make an event instead of one. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, 13 years.
13 years. How did it start?
That's a Brian question. I wasn't around. I'm going to talk to the Greybeards.
All right, so this whole thing started when 4 of us from the local gaming group went down to Alabama for an event called The Calm Before the Storm.
Okay.
And the name was very fitting because when we took this minivan down, it took us 2 days. After our first day, we stopped at a hotel. We found out tornadoes ripped up the whole northern half of the state and wiped out power. So the event organizer reached out. He knew we were driving down and said, we'll still host the event if you want, but it can't be at the convention center. They shut down. So it turns out this guy is a DUI lawyer living on the side of a mountain. And so he hosted the event at his house. So rather than paying entry fees to get into the event, we loaded up the minivan with water, beer, food, everything we would need for the weekend, and made it happen.
Nice.
Yep. So I think all told, we had about 16 people staying with this guy.
Yeah.
And we still hosted the event. It was outdoors, most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was 2 days worth of activities going on.
Nice. That's a cool origin story.
That is a hell of a cool story. So after we came back, a buddy of mine named Randy, he decided, let's do something like that because they were off the wall, not affiliated with any national tournaments, and they did fun stuff on the side as well. And we thought, let's model it after that. Sure, we do our own thing, but, because the events evolved over the years. But that is where it got its start.
Not supposed to evolve. Don't evolve.
Yeah.
Keep it fun.
I see what I did there. Tom, when did you join?
When did I join?
WAFES.
I want to say about 5 or 6 years ago. The first year was when we were doing Mad Max Fury Wah. So that's when the year Mad Max came out, so we'll have to go back and look at that.
Was it
2015?
That was the cake spray year.
Yeah, that was the cake spray year.
Fact check.
That was the first year I started. Are we good still?
Oh, we're good. I'm yelling at him to check out when Fury Road came out. He's the fact checker.
Ah, our fact checker, yes. Oh, wow, we have one of those now. We're getting official.
I know.
Damn. That was one of the best years. I don't know if we talked about this last year or not, but I don't know if you guys remember, the Road Boys or the Road Warrior. I don't know. What were they called? The guys all dressed up or painted white in Mad Max.
I do not remember.
I want to say Road Boys or something like that. But the ones that, you know, when they were going to do something epic and die, they sprayed themselves with that chrome spray paint.
Yelled, witness me.
And they yelled, witness me. And then, you know, dive off onto a car with bombs and shit. We bought like 12 cans of silver cake spray. So it's edible cake spray. And when people wanted to use their special abilities, they had to yell, witness me! And then they had to get chromed shiny. And so everyone was just walking around with their head, like, chromed, and, like, their face and their teeth and all that sort of. It was probably the best staff interaction year ever.
Oh. And that's the year where, ever since then, we've been using punch cards, and you have to yell something to use the abilities.
That's awesome.
What's
this year's?
Roll initiative.
Roll initiative. I don't think I've heard roll initiative.
You'll hear it a lot more 2 and 3. I think people are conservative with them, and then all of a sudden they're like, ah, yeah, we got to use these, and so we'll be running around with our punchers.
Nice. Yep. It's a once per day ability.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yep.
So you will hear more roll round 2, round 3.
Yep.
So once we hear roll for initiative, one of the staff will run up, punch it. They use the ability immediately.
Nice.
And they can use it to interrupt other things that are going on.
I like it. I like nice. It. I will say witness me, though.
It was. We have not beaten that. That was the best idea. And
I always wanted to, like, kept it. You know what's really weird? Not weird, but, like, Mad Max Furiosa. Like,
oh.
That came out.
Oh.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Mad Max Fury Wah Part 2.
We talked about doing sequels.
Part 2, I think, is worth doing a sequel to, because that was awesome.
Did they ever do a sequel to Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
No, unfortunately not.
No. That was another epic year.
You guys have ideas for next year of themes?
Oh, I don't think we've been floating around much around yet.
Monty Python would be a good one.
We did do Monty Python
one
year.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, we've done Monty Python, okay, Dr. Seuss, Deadpool, The Infinity War.
Clue.
Let's see. We did Evil Dead.
Dune. Clue.
Yep, we did Clue the board game.
We did
and then Squid Games.
Last year. That one was freaky, just walking in. There's just people in masks. I didn't, like, know who Mike was for the longest time because he just kept wearing the mask.
Yeah, that was the first year we LARPed.
This would have been a good year to do it, but
oh god, yeah.
Like I said, we've been a little behind, I think, this year, honestly.
Yeah.
Which it's whatever.
It's great turnout.
People are happy. People are drinking and playing games. That's all we really care about.
Just like hosted it with just beer and games. Fine. You guys went all out. Talk about some of the prizes that you have.
I think we got a bunch of prize support from the Forge in Chaska, right? Was it Forge Tower Games?
There's Forge Tower Source, and then we got some from Sneak Attack.
Yep.
Which is our club's home in Way Park.
So we're also going to throw a little bit of money from the funds to buy some more, because we try to shoot for every year that if you register, you're at least walking away with some sort of door prize.
Yeah.
Whether it be an extra pack of pint glasses, you know, a T-shirt, something like that. But we always try to make sure that everybody that comes get some sort of something.
Yeah, on top of the pint glass and a 3D printed quad every year.
Yep.
Nice. Right. I didn't even get a chance to see the pint glass. It's the same logo every year, right?
Same logo, different font, I believe we did.
Normally it's the same everything, but this year we did a different font.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're trying to change things up a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll have to make sure you guys get a glass.
I mean, I still use last year's glass, like, all the time. Like, if someone's like, hey, can I get a glass of water for the pod? I'm like, you gotta get WAFES. It's mandatory.
Yeah, anytime Jake's over and we're recording, like, our D&D episodes, we will only drink out of WAFES glasses.
Nice.
So yeah. He's a supporter.
I am. I mean, we got the poster down below, too. No, even the Donor to Wall-Me poster. It is just the WAFES.
Absolutely.
What else? We got Moser. What's some other questions we got?
This year's festivities, this year's challenges, and then random questions.
Oh, yeah, the random question episode. That'll be for later when everyone's more drunk.
Yeah.
Talk about what guy we'd fuck.
Ben Franklin. That was the best answer
of
the day.
That was the best answer. It was out of the loop.
I don't think you were part of this interview. Brian.
Brandon?
No, it was Mike.
Mike
and Brandon. But anyways, during one of our previous pods, I proposed a question. I was like, name 3 dudes you'd go the other team for. And, like, so we were just, like, everyone's naming, like, actors and shit. And Mike goes, Benjamin Franklin. And we're like, why? And he goes, because apparently he was a freak in the sheets and he was a founding father.
He's a baller, man.
And he's a baller. He's on the hundo, man. So, like, of course you're going to go gay for Ben Franklin.
I did come up with some more questions, but yeah, be thinking about that later on. And Brian, if you want me to take part of the random question episode, feel free. Mm-hmm. So,
all
right. Any other things, Moser, you think of?
The challenges of the year. Challenges that they're doing.
Since no one's going to be listening to this until like 2 weeks from now, talk about the fun surprises you have in store for these contestants.
The what?
The fun surprises you have in store. You told me a little bit.
Oh,
so our big one, game three, is going to be we're calling it the meta break, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. The meta breaking event is, go ahead.
So essentially, in 40K, you generate a command point every one of your turns and every player turn. So at maximum, you get 10 command points because there's 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Okay? So you use command points for stratagems, and stratagems give specific units or your army a buff of some sort, right? It gives them some sort of extra ability to make them stronger.
Yep.
So again, like I said, normally you get 10, right?
Yeah.
So the meta break is at random spot in the middle of game three, we're going to take our giant plushy 20-sided D20. We're going to throw that bitch down the middle aisle, and whatever it lands on, they get that many command points.
Nice. And there's if it goes under 10.
Yeah, if it goes under 10, we're just going to add we're going to add 10 to it.
Add 10 to it?
Yep. So if they roll a 1, you get 11.
Okay. Yep. So the lowest they can get is 10.
Yep.
Yep.
Actually, the lowest would be 11.
Yeah.
I think. No.
Yeah,
9.
10.
Yeah, 10. 10 would be the lowest. Yeah,
so 11, 12, and it goes up from there.
You can't get 0.
Yeah, you can't get
0. Roll a 0. So, yeah, I'd be 10.
Yeah, it'd be a 1. Yeah. Critical failure.
Critical failure.
That would be, like, the ultimate, like, I feel like you guys should have, like, a special, I don't mean to throw more at you guys, for a critical failure. I feel like there should be, like, a special.
Everyone gets max 20, regardless. You failed upwards. I don't think we have any big, like, surprise ones this year.
We do have the centerpiece for the final mission. They're all hiding in the closet right now.
Yes, yes. Forgot about that one. You want to?
Well, we do have part of the display on
the
table here, so might as well talk about it.
So for the third mission, we have a surprise for players. We are introducing a dragon into the mix. I mean, what would D&D theme be without them, right?
Yeah.
So that is a big baddie. It is loosely based on some statistics for another unit in the game, only we had to beef it up a little bit to make it competitive. But we have some giant dragon models that we're going to be placing on the tables.
Yeah, some of the dragon models that I've seen so far are sick.
Yeah.
They're really, really nice. Like the one that we have in front here, the 5-headed dragon, right?
Yeah, it's Tiamat.
Yep.
Tiamat, okay.
Queen of Dragons.
I just think of Yu-Gi-Oh! And the 5-headed dragon. I don't know.
Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon or whatever it was.
There's like a specific 5-headed dragon.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was going to say the legendary dragon where it was like the 5 heads.
Yeah. Like in the show, they all come together and they're 5 heads.
But yeah, depending on the dragon, it'll have a specific breath weapon attack, and every turn it's just going to fry whatever's closest to it.
No, whoever's got the most treasure.
Oh.
And we haven't even busted out the treasure tokens yet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever has stole the most from the dragon horde, he's going to fry.
So each game is a different round. There's 3 games.
Yep.
The first one I know is the Tavern Brawl, right?
Yes.
Yep.
What's the official name for it?
I think it's Dabar Brawl or something, right? Or what did you name it?
Yeah, I think we call it Barroom Brawl.
Barroom Brawl. What's 2?
Mission 2 is the Gretchen Dungeon.
Gretchen Dungeon.
I mean, what would D&D be without a
dungeon crawl?
Classic dungeon crawl, right?
And then 3 is dragons, right?
3 is a dragon, and you're trying to collect treasure.
Yep. Loot the dragon horde.
Feels very Hobbit.
Yep.
All right. We try to follow the tropes pretty religiously.
Nice. All right. I have one other thing.
Sure.
So I want to talk about the Weetello Dynasty.
Sure.
Brandon kind of gave out our very sober response for the motto.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to, since you're here, I was like, let's talk lore, right?
Okay.
Can you explain what, our army is the Necron army. Can you explain just a general overview of what the Necron is?
What the Necron is?
Yeah.
So basically they were like a sentient race at one point, but they lived in a planet where it was constantly irradiated, and they like lived like 20 years when they should have been living a long time. Mm-hmm. They were got into a war and were jealous of this race called the Old Ones that were immortal. Mm-hmm. And then they were essentially tricked by these star vampires. They essentially, like, they're these giant gods that came in, and they would, like, suck the life out of a sun. And they're called the Satans. Mm-hmm. And so the Satans tricked them and said, hey, we'll give you guys immortality.
Yeah.
But what they didn't tell them was that they were going to suck their souls out, feed on them, and then put their soulless bodies into metal automatons.
Yes.
Is essentially what happens. So, and then eventually after they did this, the Necrons were able to shatter the Satans into shards. And so now they actually control and, like, have the Satans, like, locked away. And so that's why, like, in our army, we can actually use the Satan shards as a model.
Nice.
So essentially we're soulless robot Terminators.
Awesome. Thank you for that recap. I wanted to talk about Lord Demcock and King Scarab. There are two characters that we have so far that we've written our own lore to.
Yep.
So this is like its own faction. Lord Demcock, his soul came back into the body of the Autoton with a... His gun is basically his cock. It is around his crotch.
He's got a gun wiener.
He has a gun in his waist.
Yep, there was something bad with the resurrection protocols, and the Goss flare got attached in the wrong spot.
And the way I like think of Lord Demcock is like when he was originally, he's the brother of this great general, and he's just a dipshit. He's just a fuck-off person. And he somehow becomes the leader of his own faction, and they break away. Like, they still are all about the Necron goal. But they're doing it with his style and flavor. And he takes the soul of his brother, and he puts him into a scarab.
Yep.
And he names him King Scarab, as jokingly. This great, wonderful leader, this general, is now a scarab, and this becomes King Scarab. And the leader of the actual army is Lord Demcock.
The fuck-up brother.
The fuck-up brother, who is making fun of his other brother, putting him in a scarab. And they are part of the Weetello dynasty. Weep boop, or beep boop, beep boop.
That's right. For anybody that doesn't know, someone said when we first looked at Necrons, they looked like Metallo from Superman.
Oh, Romero did.
Romero did, yeah. And so that's where we came up with, and someone was like, yeah, they're like, they want to be Metallo. And so we're like, oh, the Weetellos, the wannabe Metallos. So they are the Weetello dynasty.
Yeah, and that's how we got the name. I think we just rolled with it. Like, I like the name. Like,
all right. Exactly.
Just rolled with it. I think, Lord, we were thinking, like, don't evolve me, Dem. So yep. We're like, oh. But so Demcock just rolled off the tongue.
It did.
Lord Demcock.
He's a great model. We got to have some thumbnails of him, hopefully, for...
Yeah, he took a tumble earlier.
He did. His gun cock broke off. His resurrection orb balls, they stayed firm.
Yeah.
But his gun cock, he lost it, unfortunately. But he's all glued and repaired.
He's repaired. He's ready to go. I have to, afterwards, I'm going to get Dan to draw a picture of him.
Yes. You'll have to.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that is the war of our Weetello Dynasty army that Brandon is currently playing. And
probably losing with.
Your ass kicked by orcs, which I feel like is the perfect force army.
The other Brandon that he's playing, though, is a good player. He's a good player. He plays a lot. So
I remember talking to him last year.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
There he is. All right, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Mozart, do we have anything else on the menu?
D&D mains.
Oh, yeah, since we're doing D&D. Brian, do you play?
I haven't played in... I played one game last year.
One game last year?
Oh, no, D&D.
Oh, D&D?
Yeah, D&D.
God, I haven't done that since... Holy shit, now I am going to date myself here. 17.
Who's your main? Who was your main? Do you remember your main character? Not at all?
I had a fighter, I remember that.
You had a fighter. All right, new question for you then. If you had to... Let's say we're starting a campaign today. What is your race? What is your class? What are you going for? On the spot, you're making a character.
Wow.
No pressure.
Yeah, none whatsoever. You know, I'm trying to come up with something really witty, and I'm just blanking on it.
Halfling barbarian.
Yeah, but he's got to have some kind of weird quirk, you know, like he's got a weird kink or something.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about for kinks?
Random click kink table. He likes feet. Halfling barbarian likes feet.
Anything really that's like into the three feet. Or four times your size.
Oh, yeah.
Dragonborns, like, yes, they're the best. Tieflings, give it to me.
He's got a very active only feet account.
foot finder.
All right. You got a name for me? Halfling.
I need to work on
that. What's
one.
The class?
Yeah, I need to work on a name for
barbarian?
That.
Barbarian? Halfling barbarian? That seems funny.
I like that.
It's very, very feisty and has a thing for feet.
Yep.
Dragonborn feet, specifically. Got like those scales.
See? Now we got to sit down and write the character up.
We do.
All right. Well, maybe I'll have to come back to you. We are doing a D&D episode, so if you. We might have to put something together.
Can see how this is going to go.
Tell us how much you like feet. All right.
Just loosely basing it off of himself.
Is it all D&D like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no.
Definitely not based on myself.
I feel like
definitely
that's just not. An unlike
Brian. Brian Bechtolt 69 foot fetish on, you know, at feetfinder.com. Check it out. He's only $9.99 a month, guys.
$9.99.
I have no idea how much it is on FeetFinder. I'm throwing numbers.
Is that even a real site?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's called Foot Finder.
I am definitely not going to check that site out.
Don't Evolve Me does not, we do not promote feetfinder.com, but if you would like to, go for it, I guess, on your own accord, but we're not telling you to do so.
We are not sponsored in any way.
No.
Shameless plug.
Shit, I wish we had sponsors. That'd be nice.
But if you want pictures of my feet, I do charge $100 for not because I want to, because I'm poor as fuck. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, we are here with Tom Brandon, who won an actual game, surprisingly.
Hey. Yeah. Thank you.
Tom, you're going to do our chat field.
What up, guys?
Host. And Alex, I forget your last Hunt.
Hunt.
Direct Hit Hunt. You actually have a name already for us.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been able to call myself Direct Hit Hunt, but here it is.
Can you, since our camera barely gets you.
Say hello.
All right, so Alex is here to...
criticize?
I mean, that's the objective truth, right?
Critique. I would say critique.
It's got a little less of a negative connotation.
Yeah. Because critique can be positive and negative, and I'm not going to be a dick about it. You know?
I mean, I kind of want you to be.
You can move
well,
back.
Okay.
That's fine. So the last couple months, we've been working on this Necron army.
Okay. All right.
It is a refurbished repaint. It was already painted once.
Yeah,
I
gave it I gave it a quick look over beforehand, and it like for just a refurb, it's a hell of a job. It's a hell of a thing.
Mostly him.
Yeah.
I if we split it up three ways, I'm giving him at least 23%.
What do you mean? Like
I'll take
90%. 10.
Huh?
Giving him like 90%.
Guys, you have to add up to 100%. That's how percentage
is. Yeah. Yes. Right.
I'm giving him my 23 of my 10.
Okay, see?
I see.
Or 23 of my 33, all right? I am only taking 10% credit.
Well, if you take 10%, then I need to take at least like 15 or something like that, right?
20,
okay. And then the rest is yours.
At this point, are we just buying credit? Can I get
it? Yeah, you can buy it on it.
You can get influence. You know, we're going to check it out.
Yes.
All right, Alex, where would you start off? Do you look at centerpiece models first? What do you tend to do?
So typically, whenever I look at an army overall, I'll take a glance at everything, see if everything's cohesive. So does the army feel cohesive as a whole? And that might be like individual guys. Like say some of them have skin versus most of them have armor. That's not necessarily a detriment. It's just does it fit cohesively with the rest of the army? So in those individual pieces, do they have like armor that's painted the same color as everyone else, and they feel cohesive?
Okay.
That's the thing that pops to me immediately. It's like, okay, how does this feel cohesively
So, for example, if, like, let's say one of our figures was a completely different color, let's say purple and red, just randomly colors, no specific reason.
Yeah.
What do you say that would be, like, non-cohesive, that would be detrimental to the paint?
Now, it depends on the army as well. I'm gonna have some caveats with this, because something like Eldari.
Aspect Warriors?
Yeah, because all the Aspect Warriors are different.
Gotcha.
So if you painted all the Aspect Warriors cohesively within themselves, or had like a unit of guys that were all one, but they all matched like bases and then had some things that tied in elsewhere,
that wouldn't
count against you. It would be a boon to you. But like Eldar specifically have like Aspect Warriors are very different colors specifically.
Okay.
So, yeah, something like that.
Gotcha.
So how does our cohesion?
I would say your cohesion's really good. The immediate one that pops out to me just off the bat is your Satan, your Shard over here, your Nightbringer. The cloth is a different color than, say, next to your big boy up here. Now, if you wanted to have it be cloth versus, you know, a cloth that would be different than, like, an energy, you'd want to paint that cloth, some other shade of, say, brown or tan or something like that to make it different, but you can add green elements into it so it still feels cohesive wise from like a color standpoint. So something like that can help too.
What about the rest of the army?
Yeah, from the rest of the army, from 3 feet away, it looks great for like cohesion wise. You can tell that everything looks like it's supposed to be there. It all has the same and similar basing. All the colors match up in a similar way. You're not necessarily, you know, jumping over. You know, this blue is like six shades higher than this blue over here, which is six shades lower, or the entire thing is washed out in a certain way where it's just, you just dunked it in wash and then we're like, this looks great, and then left it alone. So
awesome.
Yeah, cohesion wise it looks great.
All right, what's the next thing you look for?
So if I'm judging paint specifically, then I start grabbing individual models, and I'll grab like, hey, look, a random warrior, and I'll pick one up and I'll look at it and go, yep, all right, you know, this looks good, cool, and I'll put it down and I'll grab a different one. And I'll go, all right, how does this look compared to that one? Just with whatever it is in mind, does it match? Does it look good? You know, if I'm getting closer and closer, what tends to happen, and we actually had an example of that over there, is your centerpiece models will look better. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, you're going to put more energy and more time into your centerpiece models. They look cooler.
Yeah.
Of course you are. But when I'm judging paint, I have to look at the lowest common denominator, which is typically your baseline unit.
Yeah.
So adding in things that look unique to those guys, or making them pop a little more, adding some extra contrast, something that makes them, you know, jump up in scale.
Next level kind
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like for these guys, it would be like add some glow effects. You know, make sure that they have highlighting on their armor panels and stuff like that.
And we did.
Maybe add a little bit.
Edge highlighted.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, a lot of the armor panels.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. So Tom. Next question.
I'm being grilled here.
Yeah,
so.
you're
being. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't have any questions.
All right, on a scale of like 1 to 5, 5 being the best painted army you've ever seen.
Geez, see,
that's a little low.
That's a little low.
1 to 10.
1 to 10. Yeah, 1 to 10.
1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say my rubric that I was using for over there goes to 1 to 50. So.
Okay.
Let's use the rubric.
Yeah.
All right. So rubric wise, I'd have to pull it over, but I'd say I'd probably give this a baseline of 15 out of 30, so that's above average.
Okay.
So that's your, like, effort was put in, things are popping more than just 3-color minimum, you have some details, like, there's definite work that's been put into it. I wouldn't necessarily put it up to a 20, just because it needs an extra little bit of effort for, like, the metallics especially, being that Necrons are specifically very metallic-based.
Right.
Like adding some sheen on that metallic, making sure that it pops more than just the washed initial look. Some extra dry brushing goes a long way with that, but that's just the initial kind of like instant grab that I would go for.
Okay.
Your advanced details I would give, because it's a 0 to 5 scale for that, and that's like OSL, your glow effects, maybe some extra free hand, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it a 2. Maybe a 1 to 2, because you have some of the stuff like the blades here are looking good. On all the scarabs, there's little eyes that are popping up. You've actually painted all the cylinders. Like, that looks great. You could increase some of the glow effect over here on the balls, eyes, glows.
Eyeballs.
Yeah, whatever
eyeballs.
They are.
whatever they are. Yeah, on a lot of the units, they're missing that. So if you're looking at like next steps, it's definitely like boosting that, making sure that those things pop up more.
Okay.
And you know, like the metallic little details, those are things where you want to make them pop up. Whenever you start talking about conversions, I mean, come on, the dude with the dick, he's doing great. He's pumping it hard. There's a number of conversions in this army that I really enjoy. I would probably give it a 2 out of 5, or 2 from a 0 to a 5, maybe 2 to 3, depending, because I know that these are more custom.
Yeah, they're both based, 3D printed.
You know, all these guys, yeah, which I think is a really nice touch. But even adding some hand swaps, and this is hard with Necrons for doing conversion work, just because it's...
There's not a lot to them.
Yeah, there's not a lot to them. But you can add things to them to help with the conversion. So, like, making them come out of the ground, or maybe they're, trying to think of other things that Necrons can do, because that's hard.
I do like that idea of, like, coming out of the ground, like they're rising again.
So I think the problem with Necrons is that they're so simple to paint that they're hard to make look amazing.
Yes, they are. And that's where you start to get into, like, playing with colors, playing with contrast, playing with things that would make them pop from an overall perspective, rather than just focusing on, like, okay, I've painted the armor paneling and the model itself. You can add conversions. Could be something like adding bullet wounds to them. So actually physically drilling into them and having a bullet battle damage, or having scuffs, or having things like that. And it's not a perfect thing to say, but
it can add some extra layers, for sure.
I don't necessarily always like my own rubric that I wrote, because the conversions can be rather difficult depending on the models. Like, Death Guard are really difficult to convert because they already have a ton of stuff that's going on with all of them. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to just convert
them. Right, just like slap some more stuff on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
So,
right. We do have to wrap up, or they're about to...
Trip.
Make an announcement.
So what was our overall then? You said 15 plus 1 15, plus...
15 plus 1 plus 2. Basing is going to get a probably a 1 or a 2.
What is that out of?
Probably give 1 out of 5.
Okay.
0 to 5. So you have some basing. It's all cohesive, but you have no extra things. There's no elevation changes. There's no extra stuff on there. There's no flocks. I mean, this guy's cool because you're cutting a marine in half. That's fucking cool. But that's also just basic.
One model. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one model. Yeah.
And you don't have to have that on every model, but having that more interesting things that you're looking at.
Yeah. Things to catch your eye as you're kind of scanning through it.
Yeah, exactly. And then for display board, I definitely give you guys a 2 to a 3, just because you have some additional things. But it'd probably land on closer to a 2 because you do have elevation. You do have things that are popping out and doing things inside the scene. It's closer to a parade board, so you're getting into that area where it's, you know, they're walking on it and they're being presented, and that's cool. Mm. But they're not part of a scene.
Right, right. Could be more action.
Yeah, and then adding things like little rocks, tufts, trees, things of that nature, even if they're broken and ruined, can add a lot to the actual board. Yeah. So, just thinking about that overall, but yeah, I'd probably give this a what's that? My math's bad. I haven't been drinking enough. Probably a 23.
That sounds right. Yeah,
23.
I didn't quite hit the 30 mark you were hoping for, Tom.
It's hard. So here's the thing. Once you start getting into painting and doing more, you typically see yourself, you know, climb that ladder towards that, say, that 50 mark as an overall. And it takes time, and it takes effort. Mm. But once you start getting there, you'll start seeing incremental gains in your scores overall. And it just takes time. Time and practice. I mean, my army doesn't score max on my own rubric. It just doesn't.
How often do you give? Have you ever given out a 50 out of 50?
Rarely. I'm trying to think of the last time I did. I don't think I have, actually.
It's got to be pretty
damn.
What's
the highest then?
I want to say it's 48. I think mine currently scores at 48 or 49.
Okay.
Depending on
how
you do it. What's that?
No bias.
No bias. So I rip mine apart, and then I have other people score it too. I don't typically like to actually judge as a single person. I like to judge in a group of three, because then it gets rid of bias as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because
you might just like not like a color or something like that.
And I try, just because I've done it so many times, I try and avoid that as much as possible, because I know my own biases. But I also know that you have innate biases that you're not going to be able to
get just think
past.
Something looks ugly because that's what you think about.
Because
it.
In your mind, you're like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Sure.
So I personally, I like to judge with more people.
That makes sense.
All right, I think Brandon's got a game to play, and hopefully he continues the moderately painted Witello dynasty.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thanks,
good
Alex.
Good luck to you. Thank you.
All right, good luck, Brandon. Hello and welcome to WAFest After Hours with our interviewee, Brandon Klein, the general of the Witello Necron Dynasty.
Beep boop, beep boop.
How you feeling?
Feeling great.
Yeah.
That was fun.
How'd you do?
2-1.
You surprised everybody.
That second game was real close too. I almost stole it.
That guy, I'm pretty sure he's the general of. He's the winner, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You nearly beat the winner of WAW Fest.
He was the only one that beat me.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, you got to be feeling good, because we were expecting a 0-3 sweep.
Yeah, you guys had no faith in your boy.
Technically, it was Tom, and I was taking Tom's...
I
did say you were the only one that I know that... Well, maybe not the only one, but, like, out of all the people, you are pretty good at these type of things.
This is where I cut my teeth, yes.
Yes.
This kind of stuff.
So... I'm not surprised that you won one, but to learn that you won not just one, you won two, nearly won three, and nearly beat the guy who won it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
Feeling great,
Feel like Rocky Balboa?
You didn't not win quite it, there. But not quite there. But I feel pretty good.
Run up some steps and...
I think I'm ready to take a nap.
So what ended up being your general strategy?
A lot of teleporting around.
Yeah.
We have like all these special rules and stuff like that for these games. So just really trying to take advantage of those as much as I can.
Yeah. Take me through the first game. Just general overview, kind of like what happened.
The first game was a mess.
Yep.
Trying to figure stuff out. We also, the first one was like a drinking one, was a bar fight.
Yep.
So every one of your people that were next to one of the terrain that we designated,
yeah.
they had a drink every turn. So they progressively got worse at shooting and hitting.
Yep.
But it also made them so they were less likely to die. We declared like everything on our table terrain.
Mm-hmm.
So both of our armies were all drinking the whole time. To where after the first round, we couldn't hit each other at all because everything was like you needed to roll a 6 in order to even hit.
Yeah.
And the Necrons, that added feature of making them even harder to kill, because that's kind of their thing, is that they're really hard to kill, made it so my army just didn't die. And just nobody was able to die.
So war of
it was attrition. A war of attrition, absolutely.
And you took the win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was funny because when you were doing that, Tom was pointing out how good the other player was.
Yep.
And can you recap my expression when I came to talk to you?
You were surprised when you asked.
I was like, "Oh shit, you won! Okay, all right."
Yeah.
Take us to the second.
No
game.
No faith in your boys.
I had some faith.
Second game. That game, I kind of got screwed by the rules a little bit. There was like treasure chests out.
Yep.
And you basically, the goal was to open as many chests to get coins.
Mm-hmm.
I went first. I had my one treasure chest that was in my deployment zone.
Yeah.
I opened it up and it was trapped and it blew up on me and killed a bunch of my warriors.
Oh.
On Halsey's first turn, who was my opponent,
yeah.
he was able to, with how the map was laid out, easily get to every other treasure chest on the board before I could do anything, and he opened all of them and got all the coins without any opportunity for me to do anything back. So there wasn't a whole lot of
chance. If it wasn't for the one blow up, you think you would have had the match? Or
no, because even if I would have gotten like 2 coins in that one, he still was able to get all of the other treasure chests before I had a chance to even
combat.
So that side is what gave him the immediate edge.
It
came down to whether or not I was able to take enough points of his and kill his leaders, which was close.
Because
if I would have gotten that, then I would have taken it still.
Gotcha.
But he just got like an immediate lead because of that. And then it was just like, okay, can we find another way to win at this point? And it just didn't happen.
You weren't able to pull it off.
No,
but
it was close. But yeah. I made a valiant effort. But none of my games got to the complete end. The last game was pretty much to the end. We got to the 5th round.
Mm-hmm.
First game only got to the 2nd round, and the second game got to the 3rd round, and the last game got to the 5th round.
I see.
Mm.
In the last game, was it still pretty close?
I kind of blew him out a little bit. So we had the dragon in the center, and killing the dragon was one of the main objectives. Yep. It was worth the most points. He had just a bunch of tanks. Like, that was his whole army.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, on his turns, he focused on killing the dragon, and I just kind of stayed back. And then once the dragon had only 7 health left, I just teleported my Nightbringer over there, cleaned it up. Stole that dragon.
And you got the points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a couple, not interviews, but just talking to people, it seemed like that was kind of the strategy for a lot.
Let the opponent
take out the dragon and swoop in.
Let them do all the damage. Yep, and then you come in and steal it. And then I was able to, because he was also playing Militarum, which is just a bunch of tanks, and they had a lot of benefit from not moving, he just kind of stayed back the whole time. So I was able to move up and just take all the treasure chests in the center and get all the gold, too.
So, pretty easy round three.
It worked out.
First
Warhammer tournament.
First Warhammer tournament for yourself. Tournament and really kind of playthrough for the Necron retelling.
Oh, absolutely. That first game that me and Tom played, the practice game, was barely a real game. It was mostly just like figuring out the basic rules. There was no like strategy or like any of the extra stuff. So that was all just figuring that out today.
So what would you, if you had to give a grade of the Wheatello Dynasty scale?
They're really close. I think we're missing a monolith. What would you say that would make out of 10?
Not out of 10, out of the 5.
Out of 5? Like their performance today?
Yeah. Your performance as well.
4?
Yeah.
Maybe 4 minus?
4 minus.
As far as like for what I had and stuff like that, I couldn't have done a whole lot better. I mean,
2-1 and a decent chance for 3-0.
Yeah.
That's really, really good job. I said all the pressure, and man, you pulled through. Good job.
Yeah, hell yeah. I don't crumble like diamonds.
I know. I played you enough games to know that you do not crumble. You're very much.
I played my outs.
So, but I will say the army that we built together, there were some questions whether or not and
it
the experience as well, if you were able to pull it off or you had a chance, and you definitely did. You did well. Good job. Representing, don't involve me.
Thank you.
All right.
Wheatellos. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
That's all I was going to ask. All right. That's a cut.